That's what I'm talking about. When I get up in the morning.
Backstage, the girls were playing five cards, stood by the stairs.
I don't see how a pumpkin patch could be more sincere than this one.
He doesn't want to be famous, and I'll make him infamous.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire & Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amélie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
Iron Man to J. Jonah Jameson.
Episode 54, and here, there should be an entry for Iron Fist. But he's missing from this volume of the official handbook and won't appear until the 1989 update. And I don't get it, because he wasn't killed until 1986. Some 16 months after this issue came out. At this point, he's actively starring in a series, Power Man and Iron Fist. And even after he was killed, not until 1991, he got better, of course, but he's still not in the Book of the Dead or anything. If anyone has information about this, let us know in the comments.
Call Crime Stoppers.
There's no reason why Iron Fist isn't in this.
Call 222 Tips.
I stopped listening when I realized that this didn't affect me very much.
There's a different crime hotline that's not 222 Tips to all of these listeners.
No, I'm pretty sure that's only Canadian.
Just call your local crime phone number.
But does that happen?
What do you mean?
But like, is that
cops getting no. calls about dead superheroes?
Is he probably. In the Book of the Dead in this?
No,
movie? No, he's not.
They just forgot him.
It's like they forgot him.
Maybe.
He had a series out.
That's my question. Is that like that sort of like
I feel
forgetting
bad.
Someone a common occurrence?
Maybe.
Well, I mean, they've forgotten or decided not to put people in. But maybe. Iron Fist had a series.
Maybe it's a Soviet cover-up.
I feel bad for him. Yeah. His feelings must be hurt. So are we gonna?
Love that this is what we go to. I go to like Soviet cover-up, and you're like, his feelings are okay.
So are we gonna look at him like in the next special?
No. We lost Iron Fist.
Oh.
So moving right along, our consolation prize is...
Rip in Peace.
My favorite.
Oh, honey.
That's really underwhelming.
Iron Man...
It's just, I'm so bummed.
Iron Man 1.
Iron Man 1? What? Okay, today is just entries of Iron Man. Iron Man 1, and then two pages on Iron Man 2.
So Tony Stark... in the armor he wore in 1985. Thanks to the MCU, you know the story pretty well. Stark is an industrialist who gets shrapnel dangerously close to his heart while ambushed in a war zone, builds a chest plate that keeps the shrapnel from moving towards his heart, and then a superpowered armor to match the chest plate, becoming a superhero in the process. In the comics, at least through this point, Tony Stark wasn't Iron Man publicly, like he is in the films. Instead, keeping up the pretense that Iron Man was a Stark Industries employee, and Tony's bodyguard. In terms of personality, Robert Downey Jr. put his own spin on it, but he was still the driven yet unstable genius that's still part of the character in the books. At this point, he just returned to the armor after a self-imposed sabbatical, after he'd fallen prey to the demon in the bottle, and he remains a recovering alcoholic.
Oh, you mean alcohol. Yes. I was a super villain.
It could have been.
He's a demon in a bottle, baby.
Pictured, we have him flying angrily after shooting down some planes, firing his chest omnibeam, and using his repulsor rays to move rubble away from Madame Mask to dig through the earth to shoot at some crafts. He also breaks through an office wall and shows off his camouflage ability.
Ooh.
On the next two pages, Tony Stark works on a glove, and there's a montage showing previous armors, as well as his role as founding and funding member of the Avengers and his involvement in S.H.I.E.L.D. Plus, a very simple diagram cut out of the suit and him punching Goliath in the face.
Him on the third page looks like his dad in the last Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was good casting.
He does look like he's wearing oven mitts, though.
Double purpose.
I would like to state that this is my favorite and that I have a type. My other favorite is Spider-Man, and basically Spider-Man is Iron Man, but with less budget. I like the snarky, talky characters. I like the techie characters, and this is just like the perfect mix for me.
What do you think of this armor, Nat?
I do like it. I like this look. Like, obviously it's very different. It's much more robot to me.
I feel that it's 80s. Like, I feel yeah. like...
Well, it was. That, it was the 80s.
But, like, if it this, feels 80s robot.
Because of the shoulders?
His shoulders, yeah.
If this was in a music video in the 80s, I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He kind of looks like, what's that Doctor Who villain with the
like a Cyberman?
Cyberman. He cut yeah. the oh, face. Wow. He has the Cyberman face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like the connection on top.
I think fans call this one like the Christmas suit.
Why? Because it was a gift.
Because if Santa Claus wore an armor, it'd be like this. Like this would be the color.
I like that it's so shiny.
Well, it's when really I saw it, it's the first thing I noticed, and it reminded me of my grandmother, who would never spend money on herself, but my mom got her a Paderno teapot. That's like $100, and she's like, you shouldn't have spent it. And then she would wake up at night to polish her teapot.
Wow. Because
she liked it so much. Oh, and I think he wakes up at night to polish his armor.
I think he armors. Has someone.
Yeah. Someone polishes that. It for him.
I'm going to be honest.
I'm not a big fan of the mask in the main picture. I feel like it's, I don't know, maybe I'm just too used to the movie version. And even on page 3, with the red and gold, I feel... The face is, my main issue with it is because the headpiece is too wide. Mm. It makes it feels like the cheekbone part is at a weird spot.
Yeah. I feel like everything is kind of too wide, to be honest. I don't know. It's weird to me. It's just too, like, stretched out.
Do you think it's trying to compensate for something?
Wait, there's got to be a man inside the armor.
That's true.
Yeah. He has a full layer.
He's just a guy.
Maybe it's the short torso that throws me off.
Yeah, there's also that.
It is a very short torso.
Yeah. What do you think of the other armors? Because we're seeing, basically, there have been many, many more. But that's the progression up to 1985. This is the progression. The original suit in gray, then he painted it gold. Then the one with the little spikes on the mask is more spiky. And then there's the one where it's a little more like a face with rivets. And then finally... I'd say that's the classic look.
I like the classic look.
I do think I prefer the gold, and I think I prefer one of the later ones, generally. I think it's more sleek, and it feels less clunky.
I never really thought about the fact that he looks like he's wearing a tank top.
Yeah. And I don't really think about it, because it makes no sense in a way in the movie, because the suit is so small. Like, it's like skin tight almost on him. And yet he has space for so many bullets and ballistic missiles and stuff like that. And where did it come from? Like,
magic. Science. Yeah.
In the movies, they kind of do what Iron Man does in the modern comics, which is like a lot of nanotech. That stuff is like created, built by nanites.
Nanites?
This is like little molecular robots that build other molecules. It's a thing. It exists.
Wow, that face.
It actually exists. And we can't make it do Iron Man armor stuff, but it is a thing.
It's science fact.
Yeah, okay.
Nanites. Nanobots. Call it what you will. But in the old days, maybe you'd have, you know, he's got like pods or he's thicker. He's got like a backpack.
Yeah, you can see it.
You need a somewhere to pee.
Well, he does that thing, right?
Oh, he does that in the second movie.
He does pee in it.
Yeah. I just always think about it.
I mean, like, you have to have that settled, because you don't know how long you're going to be on a mission.
And you can't take off the suit and reveal who you are.
Oh, imagine if you had, like, you know how he can just remove his mask easily, but then he has, like, the same...
Like a crotch.
A crotch.
They can just
like, yeah, he can pee and have sex with the suit on. Why not?
Okay,
that would not be comfortable.
You see, I think about
that's
it.
That's what safe sex is all about. An armor.
Now I'm thinking like
it's
a
like
plane.
Excalibur.
Like a plane or an RV. He has like one button that expels everything out, like when he's on top of the ocean. Just like time to dunk everything out, close his bag, continues the trip. That would be smart.
I'd forgotten... like the whole heart origin story situation.
terrifying.
That sounds... I don't know. Like, do you really want to have shards of shrapnel close to your heart?
Well, he doesn't.
And then... No,
no,
but
he didn't do that on purpose.
Do you want to have that and then be doing all of this physical activity where you're running around and...
He has the generator.
Yeah, the breastplate. In the comics, it's like the breastplate, I guess, has like a magnetic pull... It prevents, because just
place.
Living would,
yes,
would make the
magnets
shrapnel. Yes, magnets
are always strong enough to stick on the fridge.
Yes, but
it's Iron Man.
I don't think these are fridge magnets.
No, but I'm saying, like, even a magnetic pole can't hold something completely
about,
straight or completely.
Are you
stable.
Questioning the science?
Yes.
Tony Stark is a genius. He's figured out your magnet shrapnel
also,
thing.
And
like,
didn't he remove them in the third movie?
It fails and he has to like fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And he might die.
Yeah.
During
but
that
I just,
moment.
I just think trying to be a superhero when you have that much, you know, near damage to your heart.
But that's
no,
the point.
He had to do it anyways. Even not being a superhero, he would have to do it. So now that he's done it, and there's power created in this thingamajig,
yeah,
might as well power a super suit out of it. You know, get your laundry done.
I do wonder actually, like in the first one, like the origin of him becoming that
mm-hmm.
is mostly because he like discovers where his weapons are going and blah blah blah. Like, is that like similar to what it is?
Similar, although in the comics it's like Southeast Asia instead of Afghanistan or wherever
sure.
they are. Because,
it's more topical.
Yeah,
I like the fact that there's a really like varied beam thing. Like there's the straight beam, there's like a bunch of little tiny beams.
They look like pills.
Bubbles.
Like target beam, they're like squiggly beams.
There's
so many beams.
It reminds me of the settings
all the beams.
On a sewing machine.
Yeah.
Aww. They're all different patterns.
Okay, the shoulder pads are reinforced shoulder solar power converters.
Oh,
wow. That's why they're so big.
Yeah. More surface area for that solar power.
Why does he have a housekeeping computer in his boot?
What do you mean a housekeeping?
That's what it's called.
I assume that it's sort of like a scanning thing that sorts out if like there's something wrong with the suit.
It's housekeeping
inside
the suit.
Ah, yes.
I'm just making
climate control.
I like to think that like
jettison the pee.
At one point he gets home and it's like, oh, laundry's done. Thank you.
Okay. Did he have a Jarvis?
Jarvis is a person in the comics.
Okay, Jarvis is a person.
He's the butler of Avengers Mansion and an employee of
Is it that
Tony
guy?
Stark.
No, that's Nick.
That's
Fury.
Nick Fury.
No, but the guy standing next to
that
guy.
That's Tony Stark.
Oh, sorry, I'm very far away.
Is it kind of like a Batman situation?
Being a butler seems to be like a very useful trade in the comic book universe.
I mean, the real universe as well. We had butlers.
Who needs
a housekeeping computer?
I wouldn't go train as a butler because I don't know that there's money in it now.
You know what? I think
maybe in England.
I think I could do that really well. Because I feel like butlers are like household management type people.
Yes, that's what it is.
I think I could do that.
But you need a whole staff.
You don't have a penis.
No,
there's a glass ceiling is what you're telling me.
There is like nannies. Like you don't,
but
you
don't
live but you live on
yeah,
like a lot of them
of course,
live in the
true.
House. Like you have a room. You don't have a like nannies a bit. It's like you have a day off on a Tuesday. Like that's very
no, I agree that they're like I'm just saying like my I feel like my skills could work for something like that.
There is a female
like
version of it, right?
Probably.
It's like not like the real butler, but there's like like maybe it's the kitchen staff management. Like I feel
yes.
like there's an
in like really big.
Well, in big houses, the this is my Downton Abbey knowledge. the housekeeper.
Oh, the housekeeper
is the boss of all the female personnel, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the butler is the boss of the footmen and the valets. So they each have their own.
See? You learn something.
Actually, okay, I have a question.
Okay. Yeah, this is your character, so.
How much time is he Tony, like just Tony, like without the suit? And how much time do you see him in the suit?
It's like other superheroes. It's half and half.
Mm.
He goes on a business trip. Somebody tries to do something, disrupt the conference. Oh, let me jump in the armor.
So he always has the suit on a carry-on when going on trips.
Yes,
and... He has his own plane.
Yeah.
I know, but, like, I wouldn't want to... Like, you're going on a trip, like,
as Tony, like on a trip. And it's like,
actually, we'll get that answer later in the show. The exact answer to this question,
I love Pepper Potts,
is later in the show. So,
like this show or episode?
This episode. Oh. You won't have long to wait.
Reviewing his mansion later.
Tune in. You're already tuned. Stay in.
If my name was Anthony, I wouldn't like it if people called me Tony.
Well, I think I would.
I feel like Anthony is so much more distinguished. Tony is Tony the Tiger.
It works with Stark because it's both names. Yeah. Tony Stark.
Anthony Stark.
No. I just don't think Tony's sexy.
And I think it is.
Well, yeah, let's check. Is Tony Stark hot or not?
Hell yeah.
I'm not done.
You guys keep talking through this period as well, so you know.
I have very important things
to say. Make your points.
Like that on the second page, there are three blue missiles and they look like three penises.
You're right.
That is all you may ask your question now.
They are tiny penises.
They're dildo planes.
Yeah, there's even like a base.
Oh my god.
It is the first thing I saw. And I cannot unsee it.
I mean, Chef. No, you're right. That was very important. I'm glad you pointed that out.
I planned a bachelorette a few months ago. And this is just
what that skill at identifying penises.
It looks like all the...
Then I repeat, now that this very important business has been taken care of.
Something too.
Is there more penises?
No, not more penises, but we do know he pees in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What if he has digestive issues?
Can he, like, press a button and it's...
Yes.
Shrinks back.
Okay,
up.
But my real question, though, because of the peeing issue...
What do you mean shrinks?
Like, the suit just kind of retracts.
I mean, at least in the movies, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of, like, loose. And
yeah. I mean, it probably takes as much time as... taking off your pants.
Any superhero who's about to crap his pants is going to have costume issues. It's not because of his armor.
Is this
it's all the same.
Covered in the comics?
The comics, nobody craps except the Beyonder and presumably Spider-Man because he shows them how to use a toilet. That's it. No other superheroes use the toilet.
But the thing is, like, even if there's something to filter his pee that, like, we have heard in the second movie, he's not naked in the suit.
I think when he leaves, you can see. Like, if I'm not wrong, in the movie, you can see he's kind of like, he's gross when he gets out of that suit.
Well, he's, yes, of course. But, I mean, on the other time, like when he's in Monaco and he puts on the suit out of the suitcase, he's fully clothed.
Yeah, I agree with you. Wash the clothes, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't think...
Again, it is like anyone who craps or pees.
And I imagine the proportion of times where this happens are fairly low, I would hope. Although he's an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, so maybe...
But there was that one period. And our comments will be, like, peppered. That's a pun, I guess. They'll be peppered with people, comments, telling us that he was only... there was only one storyline. He was drunk, like, for one issue. Leave it alone!
Sure.
He hasn't taken a drink in 40 years. Okay, I know.
I've learned one thing in pop culture and everything I know about alcoholism is that once you are an addict, you are always an addict.
Yeah, but he's an addict for exactly 20 pages is basically what people are going to come out and say. It's
who
just
cares?
I know.
You're still, like, you mean after 20 pages, he's never relapsed?
I'm sure he has.
Man, there you go.
There you go. I'm just saying, I don't think he pees in the suit that often.
And when he was on the bottle, he stopped being Iron Man.
No. Yeah.
So,
but he wasn't in the suit.
Like, genuinely, for the pooping thing, when you're under stress, you don't need the poop.
Or counterpoint.
Oh, no.
Yes, you do.
No, but
so
like,
anyway.
But if you're in like a fight or flight situation, your bodily functions shut down. Iron Man's hot. I don't know about you guys, but I think he's hot.
Thank you to bring it back to hotness.
Wait, also, even if he pees or poos pants.
And also, I just want to take a minute to say that I love Robert Downey Jr.
Absolutely. Yes.
I just want to point that out.
That was such a good casting.
I basically fell in love with this character as soon as I started watching the first
movie. Fun fact, I went to see Iron Man, the first movie, knowing nothing about anything.
No,
I didn't even know
I knew nothing at all.
I was going into. I didn't even know it was a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Like, I just entered that and I was blown away.
Yeah, same. Yeah, it was really cool.
Same.
She say it's gonna be someone forging swords or something?
Okay, I don't know. I've been just followed guys.
You know what? I think I'm pretty sure I'd watch Robert Downey Jr. just make swords.
I also would. Yeah.
He's in a cave. He's building a thing.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Also, I'd like to point out that blacksmith is really attractive about Tony. Is that like he actually builds the things himself?
Yeah, he's not just like some corporate dude.
Yeah, like he has, he understands how to do it, and he can physically do it.
He has the brain, and he's good with his hands.
Plus all the fast talking snarkiness,
which I love. Yeah. I love the black curly hair and little mustache.
Yeah, that's nice too. Yeah. Good job, Tony.
And it comes with a knife house.
Yes. if the movies are indicative of anything, it's going to be blown up consistently.
Absolutely.
But
that's okay. You'll just be
exactly. Yeah, but that would be annoying though. Like if you spend a lot of time picking furniture and paint colors, and then it's like.
But imagine doing it all over again.
No, it's fucking stressful. It's like, blew it up. I really like this edition of the house.
Mm. This edition.
How did he say it? Without his suit, he's genius, playboy, billionaire, philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I said it in the right order. So.
Sure.
But I just, when he said that, I was like, yeah, I love you even more now.
Yeah.
Because it's all true. Yeah. Suit or no suit, he's awesome.
Why did he pick the name Iron Man?
I think Stan Lee picked the name.
Why did Stan Lee pick the name Iron Man?
Aluminum Boy was taken.
Well, Iron Man is a thing.
Oh,
it refers to
the marathon?
That kind of stuff,
okay,
yeah.
So that's what it is?
It's a sports thing. But and he's made, I mean, he's a metal figure.
Okay. So
he's got man, like Superman, Batman, and all of that, Spider-Man, Iron Man.
Okay.
Iron Man's not taken, let's take it.
That's a little bit of a, like, a Mega Man thing.
Yes.
It's clearly because of the song.
Which came later. Let's listen to it. Iron Man 2. While Tony was on sabbatical, he was replaced by his employee and friend, James Rhodes, nicknamed Rhodey. Rhodey was an African-American Marine who, after his military service, flew Tony Stark's private plane. Having helped Tony in a heroic capacity before, he was chosen to take on the mantle while Tony got his shit together. And he wore the classic red and gold armor we see here. In fact, they're so focused on showing the suit's capabilities, most of the panels are not of Rhodey, but of Tony in action in that suit. Anyway, we've seen a couple of actors play Rhodey in the movies, where he becomes War Machine, an armor and identity he would also use in the comics after this particular job was done. More so than Tony Stark, Rhodey is a writer of wrongs. He cannot stand injustice, having grown up in a poor neighborhood. He's also a very loyal person, and even if he's had a falling out with someone, he'll keep their secrets and come to their aid. He can be hard to work with, a little cynical and sarcastic, but ultimately an idealist. He's pictured using a targeting system that shoots down missiles faster than normal hand-eye coordination could, blasting Blizzard in the chest, and bending a tank turret. We also have a diagram of Iron Man's briefcase, which Tony used. This is the answer to your question earlier, that allows the armor to be carried. The metal turns soft like cloth, thanks to some sort of magnetic technobabble. And there's the same kind of cheap cutaway of the armor we got for the Christmas version.
But are the missiles, do they look like penises, guys? No, they look like balls.
Lame.
They're just explosions. We don't see the missiles.
They just look like meatballs.
I like this suit better.
Yeah. It's very muscular.
If I have to compare it to like the first suit that we saw, I think I'd prefer this.
I think it's more what I'm used to, so I like it more.
Is it the first, like, we don't see it in the other graphic, the repulsor in his palm.
Mm-hmm. They all have that, because the repulsor beam is the basic technology that drives the suit.
No, but that hand looks silly, right?
Oh, yeah, no, the hand is terrible.
Like, the diagram just looks like a hand that I could draw.
Yeah.
And I can draw.
It looks like glove. Like a
without a hand.
Or
Or even definitely. Like a chicken, like a rubber chicken. It just looks lifeless.
Yeah, yeah.
And I keep picturing the circle like one of those buzzers that you buzz, like you give someone your hand and it buzzes them.
Oh, okay. That's awful.
The power pods on his hips looks like he's trying to have a more hourglass shape.
Yes.
And it's hilarious.
Should I have power? What are they?
Power pods.
Power pods. I need those.
I just like padding on the hips.
I do think like it would definitely be fine without that. Like it is a bit strange. That is a bit weird.
It's like really this is where you're worried about realism?
Why is he red in the face? He looks like he's blushing.
Oh,
I think that's a reflection. It's supposed to be like a deeper gold.
No, he's blushing.
Because you see it.
Anime blushing.
Sometimes they feel bad that he doesn't have a nose, and they sort of put a reflection in there.
Mm. Why? You can see his eyes, and I don't like that.
Yeah, no, you can see it in the first one as well.
Oh, I've just noticed that. No, I don't like that.
Why? Well, why?
Aren't you always complaining when people have just dead eyes?
No, but look at those eyes.
This looks like you cut the eyes out of a painting, and you're hidden behind it, and you're looking at someone in another room.
It's nice. Like, he's also very shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shiny.
I don't like the point. Like the devil's point in the forehead.
And I'm into that.
Like and I don't understand why he has it, the round thing.
Oh, that's what powers the suit.
That's where the generator is. No, that shoots out the beam, but the generator's in the middle.
It's flight stabilizer. So did he have to carve out a place in his
He had
chest
to put some shrapnel
in. He had to do nothing.
Okay.
No.
Tony Stark gave him the suit.
Why didn't
So it's built in.
So why didn't he give him like the more recent suit? He gave him that
suit was not built yet.
Oh, okay.
So you use my old suit. And when he came back, he made himself a new suit.
I don't understand.
Because he didn't want to use the suit that someone else peed in.
I mean, which is a fair judgment.
But there's really a anti-Rhodey agenda here. There's not even a picture of Rhodey without the suit.
Yeah, that's such
if he's hot or not.
That's really annoying. Mm. Like at least one panel when you actually see him. Yeah. I mean, I get that it's the suit, maybe.
I remember he had like a flat top.
I want to see that.
It was the 80s, you know.
I want
to
see that.
I'm not sure I understand how he can be cynical but also an idealist.
I do like Rhodey. I think that's a good balance for Tony.
I don't understand what's the both like nipples on, around.
Oh,
the,
where are those?
I looked at the diagram and there's nothing. So it's just Tony Stark didn't know where the nipple go.
I don't think it's supposed to be a nipple.
Maybe no, it's not. But I just don't know what it is.
I've seen him plug himself in. I think he can put like wires in there.
Oh,
I like to think he puts flowers and he's like, smell my flowers, and it squirts water.
Does he have
lasers?
Does he have good stories?
Rhodey?
Yeah. Like, did they like half-ass it when it wasn't actually Iron Man?
No. I mean, he had his own. And you try to do that sometimes and just put somebody else in the suit just so they can be like have a different personality, bring different things, but also they're rookies.
Mm-hmm.
In a role that is classically a very professional older hero. So this was, they were starting to do that a lot in comics.
Okay.
Interestingly, he's the one that joined the West Coast Avengers. When Hawkeye built the West Coast Avengers, he picked Iron Man to be on his team. He did not know he was getting Rhodey. You know, he thought in his mind, there's Iron Man. There's just Iron Man.
That was my question. Like no one knew.
No, no one knew.
No one knew that it was not the regular Iron Man.
Unless you really had like a personal relationship where you would know who was who.
Did that cause trouble in the battles?
Well, there's a scene that I like in Secret Wars where he flirts with Captain Marvel, the Monica Rambeau one. And she's like, gross. It's just like, keep your head in the game, Iron Man. You know, it's like, oh, no, I've got like Tony Stark's reputation or something.
So I'll have to assume that it's a robotic voice then. I mean, I know it's written.
Yeah, they're just a synthesizer thing, right?
Because that
in the movie.
That would have been a given.
Yeah, in the movie, he's got like.
We hear it inside the suit as well.
Yeah, it sounds
the voice
fuzzier.
Is a bit different.
It's like
it's fuzzier, but it's
projected.
Still, it's still Tony.
You it's public know. In the movies.
If you didn't know it was Tony, you probably wouldn't be able to recognize that's his voice.
That makes sense.
So same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or even if you didn't know that wasn't Tony.
I've seen this one. The housekeeping computer is in the chess piece.
That makes sense.
I'm also. It's interesting to me that there is a main neck anti-trauma restraint. So, you know, he also learned from past mistakes and made it safer.
that he cares so much about his friend.
Is Rhodey Iron Man 2 hot or not?
Yeah, hot. I like him.
I think hot. It's just unfortunate that we can't see him.
Yeah, I wish you could actually look at them.
So it's like, I feel like I'm saying for the suit.
Does everyone prefer this armor?
I actually do.
I think I do. It just
Without the power pods.
Yeah, that's a bit. It just makes the silhouette a bit strange. Yeah,
actually, my actual favorite thing is the suitcase. Because I can't. That's great. I can't see that face in the case.
the face in the case.
That's my favorite Stark tech.
I just think. Like, they're bucket boots, but they're metal bucket boots. Mm. And I feel like that trimming just seems, like, clunky and, like, it would be in the way on the gloves and on the boots. It just seems, like, extra.
I think the armor gets sleeker as time goes by.
It's probably full of things, I imagine.
It's full of housekeeping.
No. micro turbines, fire suppression system, and liquid oxygen tanks.
Well, that seems important.
Yeah, but you use it to fly. I mean, mm-hmm. this is your thrusters right here.
Yes, but why do you have to be a pilot?
Thrusters.
That's stretching it.
We are very mature, Mike. Come on.
There are no penises on these pages. We need to see something.
You know what I like about him twisting the pipe? He's twisting it towards his face.
That's why I'm saying it's Tony.
And I like how he's being hit by missiles, I guess. But look at how they ricochet on his suit.
That's so fancy.
I like that word, ricochet.
Oh, no, it's bullets, actually. That's the tips of guns. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a laser.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I thought it was like the projecting the end of a missile. Like, whoosh. Yeah.
What do you see? Tell us in the comments.
You don't respect yourself, so I know you don't respect me. I'm just your babysitter, and so, you know, when you need your diaper change, thank you. Let me know, and I'll get you a bottle, okay?
Hey, heat up the sake, will you? Thanks for reminding me.
No, I'm not talking. We're not drinking. We're working right now.
It's not Iron 3?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on.
My brain just like,
we changed letter, guys, though.
Mm. Oh, we're at J.
We're at J.
And this is how we're greeted.
Jack of Hearts. Real name, Jack Hart.
Oh.
His dad was a scientist who developed a revolutionary, efficient liquid fuel called Zero Fluid. And his mom was an alien woman of the Contraxian race who, in human form, got close to Dr. Hart because she was looking for an energy source to help restart the failing Contraxian sun. One thing led to another. Jack was born of their union. She died in a car accident without anyone knowing her secret. And Daddy Hart was murdered by a criminal organization when he wouldn't let them have his zero fluid right in front of his teenage son, Jack.
Of course.
They tried to shoot him too, but missed and hit a vat of zero fluid, which doused the boy with the liquid and transformed him. He started radiating energy, and only the armor he found in his father's workshop allowed him to control it properly. Calling himself Jack of Hearts as a tribute to his father's passion for playing cards, he started on a righteous mission of vengeance, blinded by anger at first, but eventually flying off into space when he couldn't trust the powerful energies inside him not to hurt innocent people on Earth. The Jack of Hearts can fly, fire a blast of zero energy, which is described as something like a rocket blast, and could build inside him until it had to be released. Shades of Havoc. On purpose or accidentally, if he wasn't careful. He always radiates heat, and if left unchecked, can cause climate problems, which is why he left Earth. He still struggled with anger management issues.
So when did he came back? We have climate problems. When he came back.
Why the arrow?
Oh, you what? Know why the arrow.
No, but like, what? Penis. Who thought?
Yes.
But
look
there,
at my crotch.
It's not making that face.
It's right look there. It. Look, you need the guide. It's right there.
No, but, like, usually.
It's like that you are here.
Or you should be here.
Okay.
Like, is it supposed to be a house? Because there's like a tiny...
It does kind of look like a house. Terrible.
Is it a house of cards?
No. It really feels like his fists are floating.
Yeah, I
on
feel
the
like
other side of like. Yeah. Like it just feels like they're put on there.
Yeah. Is what are those?
The pink stuff is this power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's always moving. Like in my head, it's always like. Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. You know what? This makes me feel like it feels like some sci-fi television show. Like something like Doctor Who or something, where they're like adapting Alice in Wonderland, but yeah. it's actually space and it's sci-fi.
Yeah.
And this is what the card people look like.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I think that's yeah. where the house arrow penis thing comes in. It just looks like a pattern that you could find on a deck of cards. But you know, it should be maybe not pointing towards a crotch, but you know.
No, but you know, the house always wins.
What does he have a bad eye?
No, it's a heart.
Yes, I know it's a heart, but is he covering his eye?
No, that's how he sees love.
It's terrible. That's what it is.
So wait, is it an eye patch?
I think so.
I think it's makeup. The way it was.
But you don't really see like he looks like his eye's not there.
Well, he didn't actually put on makeup. I think maybe that's part of the transformation.
But what's on his right hip? It bothers me.
It's for snacks.
Well, he can have a grocery bag. I don't like it.
They can't decide the shape of his power. Or the spiky? Is it cloudy? Is it a fluffy pink thing or is it a spiky pink thing?
Or like yeah. a bubbly pink thing?
Yeah.
Mm. I love.
He's like starts. He's like Phoenix Force over here.
Yeah, the boots are amazing. I want those.
No,
I love them.
They're, I do not. They're pretty ridiculous.
Like, the upside down heart is balls.
You're so goal focused.
Honestly, like
it's because of the arrow.
Yeah. As much as the arrow is ridiculous, like that bottom arrow piece, I don't like. But I do really like the pattern on his like shoulder pad and going down,
yeah,
which is reminiscent of a deck of cards. But I really like the look.
I like the collar. Like I would wear that collar on a shirt. Yeah,
it's, so cute. It's very like intricate Art Deco kind of vibe.
I love it.
It's like a little messy, but I feel like it would be much better if the like the wrist cuffs were like McDonald's M&Ms.
Yes.
Oh my God, it's really McDonald's M's right there.
Other fast food chains available, not a sponsor.
Yeah, it's just, I think that makes it just too busy. Mm. Like, that cuff situation.
Mm. Or it legs. Should be, like, the same colors at, like, there should be black, yeah. not the yellow.
Yeah.
And the boots should be more reminiscent of this pattern.
Yeah, if they were orange, like this kind of orange. Mm.
Yeah, the boots feel like they don't match the rest of the outfit, and the arrow is unnecessary.
I quite
know where your penis is, thank you.
Because I feel like they usually put that type of cloth thing, because like it covers the crotch, but like you could have just gone, like the skirt part could have gone a bit lower, and you could have still had that. Yeah,
that's very knight-like, which fits the deck of cards, I think, like a knight. No, yes. Mm.
You say that we know where his penis is, but last episode or the episode beforehand, we established that aliens do not have to conform to the human form.
Yeah, true. But this guy does.
He's a human. Okay, I mean, his mom may be part alien, but my dick is still here.
Well, he never knew he was part alien, so presumably.
I forget to say he never knew where his dick was. I
doubt that they discussed that in the comics.
So what does this power do? Sorry, I don't remember.
He's just like a human sun, which is like build or
a human sun.
Well, he's building energy all the time, and then it has to be released because he's super hot as far as heat goes. So he's like a supernova about to go off. He's a bomb.
Okay, that's useful.
He basically needs to wear the suit, right?
I think it regulates. Yeah,
that's
regulates
a bit
the
of
thing.
A bummer.
Yeah,
so, and he has to wear it.
Is he always warm? Like, does he
apparently.
Feel warm? Oh, that's a bummer.
But the thing is,
for me, I'm always cool.
He must sweat a lot.
No, maybe he doesn't feel warm.
No, because it's been, like, his body chemistry has been altered.
Yeah,
so
us that will sweat a lot.
Okay, never mind, I take it
back. But keep in mind, though, that if he doesn't release on a regular basis, he could have an accident and then blow you into particles.
Yeah, that's not great.
But where does he go when he leaves Earth?
Space.
The final frontier.
He goes to the sun and just...
Space.
Explodes. Just like that.
What's his personality like again?
No, that's
explosive.
Not your line.
Hot.
I think he's hot.
I haven't even asked.
My question is...
Ask.
Is he supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy?
No, he's a good guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he was vengeful. Revenge. He's that guy.
Yeah, righteous revenge. So.
Righteous.
Because he's saving a woman here, but then he's fighting Iron Man, but I suppose it's the typical heroes meet heroes and the
conflict.
The Marvel.
Fight, and then, oh, we're happy. We're both nice.
That's personally how I make all of my friends.
Good.
First you
break
fight.
Up, you bitch!
Fight, and then...
Jack of Hearts, hot or not?
Hot.
I feel a bit meh about it, but I like him more than I don't. I think generally it's pretty creative. Like, I feel like, I don't think I've seen someone that looks like this.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I like the look. I don't think I would marry him, but I'd spend a few months with him.
I'm just cold. I'm just, it's a big pass. I'm not excited. I'm not thrilled. I'm just like, eh.
He's just so dealing not. With the cards he's been dealt.
I kept laughing, lifted, and the gambling wheel shut down. Anyone with any sense had already left town. He was standing in the doorway, looking like the Jack of Hearts.
Oh!
I love it!
I didn't even see the skateboard right away!
It's not a skateboard, exactly. Jack-o'-lantern. Before he became the second Hobgoblin, Jason McIndale was Jack-o'-lantern, an MIT graduate and former Marine fighter pilot who later worked for the CIA in Asia.
Okay.
But his methods were too brutal and extreme for his superiors to tolerate. He was dismissed and became a mercenary, eventually adopting a colorful costume and identity to better advertise his services. He uses various types of grenades, not unlike pumpkin bombs, as well as wrist blasters that fire an electric shock. He wears body armor and a helmet that produces low temperature flames and has an air supply, and flies on a hovering platform, the diagram for which is supplied, as well as one for a typical concussion grenade. He mostly fought Spider-Man.
Surprise, surprise.
So I'm confused as to why, you know, the whole time you were speaking, I was wondering, you know, why would a hardened Marine who has two brutal methods become a ridiculous character? But then you said it was marketing, so I'm down with that.
He was just like, okay, what do I need? I need fire, I need pumpkins, I need a fish suit, and I need a top.
And a cool skateboard.
Yeah.
If you didn't know what Nightmare Before Christmas was, the character in it, he's Jack the Pumpkin King. And I feel like if you didn't know, this guy could have that title. Doesn't he seem like a pumpkin king?
Yeah.
I think the flames are like a crown.
Yeah.
I really like the shape of the eyes on the pumpkin.
Yes, I like that they're not symmetrical.
I love that they're symmetrical.
Do they move? Like, do the eyes move with his face?
I'm sure in the comics the artists like to do that, but I'm not sure how that works for real.
It's science. I feel like what are they, grenades?
Yeah.
Those grenades are not pumpkin-y enough.
They could be more pumpkin.
Because I think the pumpkin grenades copyright Green Goblin.
Yeah.
So when he becomes Hobgoblin, he's already got the skills, and he's already stealing from Green Goblin. Like, this is very Green Goblin-y in a way.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, throw gourds. Throw a butternut squash.
They're not as aerodynamic, to be fair.
Honestly, like, I would probably wear this, like, the kind of leotard thing, like, I'd wear this as a bathing suit. Like, if this was, like, a bathing suit, I'd be totally down for that.
But why is it so fishy?
Yeah, and even, like,
the scalloping is so fun.
It's like big chainmail.
No, it's fishy. If you would have put, like, someone else's face, but it was, like, a fish face, you would never... never question that as not being a fish
person.
It's
very fishy. It's fish scales.
Yeah, why go for fish when you're going for pumpkins? Pumpkin and fish does not go together.
But I think it looks good, though.
Yes.
It's intriguing, but...
You know what this reminds me of? So it's the green, like the leaves of the pumpkin. And it's the pumpkin. And I have this thing about not wearing brown pants with a green top because I don't want to look like a tree. And I couldn't wear this because I'd look like a pumpkin patch.
Mm. Well, I mean, you did commit with a pumpkin head.
You're calling yourself Jack-o'-lantern in the story.
I know it's a very small detail, but my goodness, does it ever bother me that the pumpkin still has the little...
Little stem?
Trim it off.
I feel like it looks more dumb without it.
No. In my mind, it looks more...
Without it, he's like onion head or something.
It's not a real pumpkin.
It ties in the green.
It's too round.
Oh, yeah.
It's a helmet.
It's too round.
It should be more pumpkin-y. It's like, this is Madeline head.
It's too round. It needs to be more gourd.
I agree with you. It looks like an onion.
Try a butternut squash. Yes, it needs to be like a bit larger width-wise.
It's too ovally. It looks like a beach ball or like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like
a melon.
I feel like this would be a real fun Halloween costume, though.
Yeah, I took a picture of it. I'm going to try.
The fire part as well?
Yeah,
2021.
This
is really difficult.
This looks fun. I want to try
really
to do it.
And I also love the board.
Yeah,
that's great.
I want a montage of him learning to ride that, just falling.
Yes.
Oh, he's divorced.
Oh,
that means he's available.
That means he's damaged. Trust me.
Aww. I also find it surprising that he's called Jason. I feel like
he's
probably called Jack. You just kind of assume that. No, Jason.
Jason Phillips.
He's a freelance terrorist.
/ assassin.
A freelance terrorist. Now that's a business card.
Yeah.
Is Jack-O-Lantern hot or not?
I think it's very cool.
What is he like again? Sorry.
Brutal.
Oh, yeah.
He's so brutal, the CIA said disavow. Wow. The CIA thought he was too brutal.
Like, I probably don't want to be his friend, but I do like this look a lot.
Yeah, the look is great. He sucks, but I want to wear this costume.
His crotch area is very flat. Like, it looks very...
I think that's because of the scallops.
I know, but, like, there's I wish I had that figure. There's something like, very feminine, actually, about the way it's dressed.
Yeah, it does feel feminine.
It's probably because of the belt and the balls.
Yeah, but I think how the bathing suitness, the belt sort of cinches in the waist where you would normally, like...
want to cinch.
It is very hourglass.
Yes.
Like, he has a bit better figure than I do.
And, like, a turtleneck or something. I wish there was, like, a good pumpkin pun.
Think about it for a
pumpkin? A pumpkin, yeah.
No. Does he, like... does he stand around pumpkins and he's like, these are my kin.
Dear Great Pumpkin, I'm looking forward to your arrival on Halloween night. I hope you will bring me lots of presents.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Classic.
Say it properly.
Jameson, comma, J. Jonah.
Thank you.
JJJ was the proverbial thorn in Spider-Man's side, the editor-in-chief and publisher of the Daily Bugle, who insisted on painting the wall crawler as a menace in his newspaper, buying a lot of Peter Parker's pictures to do so. Depending on the writer, his crusade is sometimes motivated by foolish jealousy, sometimes by an honest belief that Spider-Man is dangerous. He's loud and obnoxious and shouts at his employees, but he can also be quite protective and fatherly with them. Over the years, he's moved on from the newspaper business, working as a pundit on television and even as mayor of New York City, always causing problems for Spidey. Pictured slamming his fist on his desk.
Which is his natural habitat.
Such an angry. And I love that the cigar, no matter what he's doing, there's a big-ass cigar.
It's funny how the way he's drawn, he looks like he's yelling. Mm-hmm. Like, even when he's not yelling, he looks like he would be someone that yells.
It's in the face. He's not a nice person, but as a character, he's iconic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
I like that, like, not a lot of superheroes have just, like, plain, normal humans, just angry humans.
Yeah, he's like kind of a nemesis to Spider-Man, but he's just your everyday Joe that writes about how you're dangerous.
He's just like an annoyance.
He's like a villain towards Spider-Man, and yet he's paying Peter Parker, so it's kind of like you have to like work for the bad guy so that you can survive. Like, that's a bit sad, isn't it?
It's a perfect also, Spider-Man.
But also, like, he has to, if he didn't pay Peter Parker, then he couldn't. So, like, they need each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a codependency.
I screamed during Far From Home when I saw him. Oh,
I'm really pleased that they brought him back for that.
Yeah. That they recasted J.K. Simmons for the role.
Because he's perfect for this.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. That's how I imagine this character.
Yeah, you can hear the voice.
Yeah.
You can hear, like, this man has exactly the voice you're imagining.
Just anger.
Are there a lot of characters that are just, like, people in, like, day-to-day life that are that iconic? Like, that people
know? They're real-life villains.
Well, I think people like Lois Lane.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
They're all journalists. Like Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen. Perry White. Pepper Potts isn't iconic. I mean, she's in the movies and people, even in the comics at this point, you're not going to see Pepper Potts in the Ohad movie. You know, she's like, so really iconic. I think Alfred Pennyworth, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the DC Comics ones are so old and have been TV shows and movies so much.
It's more in the zeitgeist.
So remember them. In Marvel, like Aunt May, you know, it's just like that.
I feel like they're all around. And
Mary Jane.
Yeah, they're all around Spider-Man.
A lot of them are around Spider-Man.
So maybe it's just a question of wanting to ground Spider-Man in a humanity.
And Spider-Man kind of makes sense because he's more of like a
New York superhero. Like, he was more like a small time than like, you know, he's not going to space.
Yeah, no, he's friendly neighborhood.
Yeah, so but not only that, it makes sense that he would interact more with just like people, because he's also like a teenager. He's still going to school, like, yeah, at least sometimes.
And like, so, the other big Marvel heroes are in these other worlds. Like, Thor has a world of gods, so his supporting cast is like, they're all superheroes.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Warriors
and
yeah.
You know, Captain America's working with spies and soldiers, and so, yeah.
Peter has more, like, interaction with people, just regular people.
His hair would look a lot better if he'd let it grow.
But he would look less angry. Like, even the haircut looks straight, like...
Does he have a mustache?
It's a little bit of Hitler mustache, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was a shadow or a very mustache.
Unfortunate.
It's a mustache.
Is there a very casual backyard barbecue version of him?
I imagine it's basically the same, except he's wearing shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, but he still has the cigar.
He's got the cigar in his mouth. Like, Linda!
He's flipping birds.
Betty!
And I like to think, like, oh, I really like your shirt. Wasn't my idea. The wife made me.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Like, he doesn't even like it. He's like, ugh.
Does he have hobbies? Like, how does he de-stress?
Yes, get angry. Like, he shoots clay pigeons.
I can imagine.
Oh, like, yeah. Fuck yeah!
I can kind of imagine, like, at a horse race.
A lot of yelling there.
Well, under his strength level, they say they don't mention any sports because he engages in little exercise. But he's in good physical condition despite once having suffered a heart attack and being a chain smoker. They actually say that.
And a chain smoker of cigars.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you know that guy has money. Or they're really cheap cigars.
To be honest with you, I get the impression that he basically lives at the office. I'm not sure that he does a lot in his free time.
No. Workaholic.
Yeah, he seems like the kind
of
guy.
He's been married twice.
Yeah, and that's probably why.
Well, I don't know. The first wife is deceased, so maybe he was a widower.
Okay.
He's got one of those whiskey things in his office.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like when he was a child, he was just exactly this, but shorter.
What would be his Starbucks order?
Now!
I feel like someone gets his coffee for him also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, of course. Betty!
Yeah, an espresso.
I love the yell lines. There's not enough yell lines.
That's anger.
Radiating anger.
Yeah. But does he swear? Like, is there like a child version of swearing?
Yeah, the little symbols. Yeah, sure.
Does he do that? Okay.
I'm sure I've seen the symbols.
Because I feel like he's the kind of character that swears. But I mean, I wasn't sure if like, God damn it, or like, just damn it, or something.
Don't hit the tape.
No, but it's for effect.
Is J. Jonah Jameson hot? Or not?
I mean, no.
That's an odd question, maybe?
No. He looks like he has gigantic hands, and that's kind of a turn-on.
His hands are huge!
I think it's to slime his desk more efficiently.
Or get good massages. I don't know, I feel...
Just like those slamming massages, but just like punching your back?
Oh, no.
I feel like ultimately no, but I'm going to say yes.
You know what? Despite what we're saying, I like to think that even though it's such like... fury driven and so angry all the time that he comes home to his wife and he actually takes good care of her.
But he's a like anger and fieriness, that's passion, man.
Mm-hmm.
So like there might be something interesting there, and that's why I date wrong people.
We're not Spider-Man, so that's already.
He's also a proud father.
Aww.
So
how many kids does he have?
He has a son.
And he's in the NASA.
Is he son? I don't know why I'm asking if his son is single.
We'll find out later.
Actually affect me.
We will find out later.
Is he in here?
We will find out later.
Wow. He's an astronaut.
Well, he's probably like not too long from now.
In 20
except if he's
years.
Dead. Yeah, is this
or
have,
if
like,
he has a code name.
Does he have like an alliteration thing going on with the J's?
Oh. Well, he's called John, it
His
says.
His name's John, yeah.
Oh. So John Jameson, yes.
He's coming next.
Also, I just like the name. It's a good name. J. Jonah Jameson.
What does the J stand for? Do we know?
Jameson.
Jameson Jonah Jameson.
I like names that repeat the letters.
Yeah,
like,
his
like,
first wife was Joan.
Yeah.
Really, Joan and Jonah had
and
a son named John.
John.
Yeah, that's intense.
So that's Stanley.
Oh.
Stanley likes alliteration because that's the only way you can remember names.
Honestly, I also love alliteration, so I'm all for that. that's great.
But Iron Man isn't an alliteration.
Well, no, it's not.
Tony Stark.
Guys.
No, but Peter Parker.
You can
is
always
also...
remember Tony Stark.
You never forget your first Tony Stark.
Yes, Emily.
It says here that he's not a fan of superheroes, but he's more tolerant of ones that work for the government. But it should be noted that Jameson, a civil rights advocate, has never acted out of bigotry against superhuman beings. He does not, for example, share the widespread racial prejudice against superhuman mutants.
Oh, nice. But then afterwards, you said that he created a supervillain to bring Spider-Man to unmask Spider-Man.
I mean,
Spider-Man.
You gotta have hobbies.
And that's one of them.
This is like what the Daily Bugle runs as contests. Defeat Spider-Man, win $1 million.
Yeah,
totally. Stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
They're crap. 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 Mega crap.
Art credits. Iron Man, both of them by Mark Bright. Jack of Hearts by Dave Cockrum. Jack-O-Lantern by Steve Ditko. And J. Jonah Jameson by John Romita Sr.
The Fire and Water Podcast Network is a collection of super friends plus Shag. So what could be more appropriate than a podcast about the super friends? It's For All Mankind, a Super Friends podcast, a read-through show about the classic DC comic book series covering all 47 issues of the original run plus a few surprises. Hosted by me, Rob Kelly, and a rotating group of my super friends. Coming soon from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
It all looks good to me.
Female bag.
Woo!
We're looking at your comments from episode 53, which included the Inhumans, Interloper, and the Invisible Woman.
I'm excited.
Oh, I haven't seen any of these.
Oh, yeah, Josie wasn't here.
And Josie weren't here. Oh, well. On the Inhumans, Chris Franklin says, I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought Luna looked weird. Yes, it's true. There are very few superhero comic artists who can draw convincing children or even teens.
Mm-hmm.
Ange says, on Seeker, I often look at the supplemental page before I listen to see which outfit I would wear and then gauge the response. Okay, Ange.
That's an error.
I do not do this.
There is no doubt of these characters, I would don the Seeker outfit, right down to the needlessly ludicrous weapon. This, I suppose, explains the dearth of dates I had in high school. He also wanted to do some Inhuman dad puns.
Oh.
What superpower would you get if Black Bolt merged with Stallios? Horse voice. Why did Stallios allow himself to be subjected to the Terrigen?
Do you mean Stallior?
He wrote Stallios, but it is Stallior. You're right. Why did Stallior allow himself to be subjected to the Terrigen? It behooved him to do so. Should you be afraid if Black Bolt merged with Tiberius? Yes, his bark is worse than his bite.
Bark.
Moving on, Rob Kelly says, he's the centaur of attention, is why this show should never stop. This episode is one of the times when the girl's general ignorance of comic book minutia really pays off. The Inhumans have always been some of my favorite Marvel characters, and it personally pains me that they are probably permanently damaged brand-wise thanks to the TV show and will most likely never get a shot in the movies.
Oh, no.
So it made me smile to hear the girl's general positive reaction to the characters, not bogged down by knowledge of the failed TV show.
I knew the show was crap. I just...
never watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Same. Chris Lewis says, I'm picturing a dramedy documenting the trials and tribulations of a reverse centaur trying to navigate their way through the all centaur world. Inevitably, the series would be called Centaur of Attention. Netflix, Amazon, sign up these girls now. Jeff of Jeff and Rick Present says, listening to this at work and had it to double take when the conversation got to Splinters. To which Chris Lewis comes back to respond, Ohatmu, come for the deconstruction of obscure Marvel characters, stay for the extraordinarily detailed history of sex toys.
What a day to miss.
Brian Linton says, I was surprised and pleased by the lady's general positive response to the Inhumans. I like the Terrigen Mist element of the Inhuman mythos. Sure, if you undergo Terrigenesis, you might get some cool powers, but you also might end up just looking like a giant earthworm. There's lots of story potential there, especially when you bring in the societal pressures to undergo the process that probably exist. I also share Rob's concerns about the TV series and the harm it may have done to the Inhuman brand. Yeah, guys, I don't think there is an Inhuman brand. Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't think there was really an Inhuman brand. Anyway.
There won't be now.
Mike Dina says, Arrow. He looks like he would refer to himself as a professional tumbler. Leonis. I agree with Siskoid that Leonis should be an action figure. I would have pitted him against my Black Star action figure for sure. Stallior. I thought he would have got a lot more love from the ladies. for the anthropomorphic look alone, but maybe the Roman costume threw them off.
You know what?
Because you like animals.
Yeah. Yes. What I'm looking at right now that I don't think I mentioned last time is he has a six pack, but then he has like more six packs going through the horse. So is that like a
18-pack?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I would have liked him.
He has like five cores.
Mm-hmm. I think I would have liked him more with like bare chest and long hair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Also, I think we would have liked him more if he was just a horse. Like,
a little bit like Fantasia when they have the like centaur Greek section. They're just all so pretty.
Yeah, the fur just like gently goes up the middle of his tummy.
Stop.
Yeah. And but you can still see like the belly button. Yes. Just pop out of that.
He can keep the helmet though.
But we need to see the hair.
Yes.
Time Priest says the Inhumans are an interesting concept, but that I haven't really gotten into. They're fine, but I laugh so loud for. It looks drawn on. You're just saying what we've all thought when a costume wouldn't work in the real world.
Well, it's a shame that he missed the thing because the brand's dead now. So
Interloper. Chris Franklin says, again, the girls are really surprised with their love of Grumpy Hagrid here. With the talk of Santa Claus and the Seeker and the Inhumans, did any of the group see Klaus on Netflix? Santa as a big bear of a hermit, initially scary, but eventually revealed to be a big, kind teddy bear. Great stuff.
Also very hot. Yes.
Yes.
Get me the Klaus.
Bring me the Klaus.
Ange says, shotgun for the win with the Undertaker comment. I read the origin closely to see if Paul Bearer or a magic urn was mentioned. Brian Linton says, now this guy has a cushy gig. All he has to do is battle an evil cosmic entity every few millennia, and he can spend the rest of his time chilling out, doing whatever he likes. I wonder if his position comes with decent health benefits. Not needed. He's an eternal.
No, but for his, you know, spouse and extended family.
Right.
I would like to know that information. Yeah. So if you do have it, please forward it to us.
Time Priest here says the discussion about Brown Santa's claws was also fun. And someone in the squad likes bears. To true Cisco and I eagerly await the announcement of Mr. and Mrs. Loper. If they get married in Vegas, he'll be the Illoper.
There's a lot of puns, solid puns out there.
Invisible Woman? Chris Franklin says, I'm glad the girls didn't hold Sue's semi-mullet in the main portrait against her.
Boy,
that was an
gross.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate hairstyle. You never didn't talk about it at all.
We were too busy contemplating the gorgeous hair she has everywhere else.
Mm. Yeah. Oddly enough, Sue really does look like Jessica Alba to me on the top right panel of page 3 of the entry. This was drawn by John Byrne, who infamously made some rather nasty remarks about her casting. Go figure. Huh. Ange says, meh, not much to see here. Sorry, another pun.
I believe this episode is sponsored by puns.
Actually, what I can't wait for is when Siskoid eventually shows everyone her other outfits in the bonus episode.
Ooh.
That should be a fantastic conversation. Still, I don't even know. I don't think he even does it on purpose anymore. He says, I will say that I have something of a crush on Sue. She's smart, capable, beautiful, and loving. She would always be the Mary in almost any Marvel version of Fuck, Marry, Kill trio given to me.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Linton says, Sue has come a long way since her creation, probably more so than any other member of the FF. From what I recall of the early FF stories, she often served in the role of damsel in distress and was constantly berated and mansplained to her by her boyfriend, Reed, now, or at least as recently as the 2000s, when I last followed the FF regularly, she's the center of the team, and arguably the most powerful member in terms of the scale and scope of her powers. Ideally, she should never have had to go on such a journey in the first place, but things being what they are, I'm glad she did. As an aside, I wonder if the ladies would gain a better opinion of the FF from watching some of the old cartoon shows. I'm fond of the 1994 series, particularly the second season, which was a step up from the first and brought in several other Marvel characters as guest stars.
Wow.
Nerd!
Mike Dina says, of all the times for her to get an entry, it has to be when she has a mullet rat tail thing. She will always be a hot to me, but that haircut reminds me of some of my unfortunate hair choices in the 80s. Bradley Nell says, I've mentioned the Supers homebrew that used to trace stuff as blanks. Invisible Woman was used for lady agents or goons. Time Priest says, this was the era when I started regularly collecting Fantastic Four, so I love this version of Sue. Hair style and all. John Byrne's artwork cemented my crush on Sue, and the journey from Invisible Girl to Woman was, dare I say, fantastic. But I'm also reading some 60s FF issues along with another podcast, and was shocked to hear in FF number 17, that's really early, that Sue took on Dr. Doom solo with judo before she ever got those force field powers. Sadly, that depiction was not the norm, but dang.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Gothos Mansion says, I'm glad the ladies were able to give Invisible Woman a hot and not let the awful movies color their perception of her. Like everyone else seems to, I think, of Sue as sort of deceptively sexy. When you first look at her, sure, she's pretty, but she doesn't jump out at you. However, after reading lots of issues, and you see how intelligent she is and how she holds the team together, in addition to the fact that she's the most powerful member of the team, but doesn't flaunt it in front of the other members. Besides, how many women turn down the bad boy, Namor, to stay with the nerd, Reed? Sue gets points with this nerd for that. And Captain Entropy says, my crush on Sue started under the Burn Run 2. Sue is hyper-competent. Yes, she's compassionate and kind. Yes, she's a loving mother, wife, sister, friend, heroine. And those aspects are wonderful. But she's also more powerful than any of her teammates and fiercely, aggressively protective of those she loves. If I were a villain, I'd be deathly afraid of hurting Reed, Johnny, and Ben. Heck, even Spider-Man. For fear, she'd expand her force field inside my lungs. Remember when she slapped some sense into Tony Stark? Or when she went back in time with Wolverine on his mission to kill Hank Pym? When she turned into a drill sergeant and woke up the team from near comas to rescue Luke Cage and Jessica Jones's baby?
She has lived.
I don't remember any of the instances.
Sure, I do, totally.
Wow, badass. When they write comics, do they just, like, throw darts at random subjects?
Maybe.
No. There is a subject, a verb,
and a hero.
He says, she is, and I mean this literally, one tough mother.
Hey.
In more miscellaneous comments, Mike Dina says, Siskoid, I liked your Katy Perry lyrics, never too hot, never too cold. It immediately brought to mind that old Alanis Morissette song, when she was just known as Alanis, Too Hot. Yeah, Mike, that's totally what I was singing, actually. I was not singing the Katy Perry song at all. He says, a big thank you for the compliments to my mom. I agree. She definitely deserves the compliments. Considering how much they have shaped my view of the Marvel Universe, I will always take a not limit from the ladies. So you're off the hook, Nat. Before we go, we'll mention that the Fire and Water Podcast Network now has a Patreon page at patreon.com/FW Podcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards. Some people this month got Valentine's.
I hope you like them.
So that's the kind of rewards we go for. You know, the other reward that we unlock is the hot list, right?
Yeah.
The hot list. If you decide to sponsor this show specifically, every episode you will get a custom compliment.
Unless it's Natalie.
Unless it's Natalie, and then it's a Nat lament, and
I don't know what compliments are.
I would personally like to request a Nat lament this
time. Okay.
Don't start with me, so she has time to think about it.
Sure. Well, we'll go through the list. We also have a new person on our hot list, which I will keep to the end. So we need to compliment Anne-Marie Bernier.
She knows science really well.
Mm-hmm. She's really intelligent.
Yeah.
And skin science.
Yeah, she does know a lot about skincare as well. And
it's very useful.
She just did a foot mask.
That's a Nat Flamin.
She just did a foot mask, therefore her feet are very smooth.
Yeah, that's how you turn it.
Monsieur Nick.
We're currently in the process of buying a house.
Nat Flamin.
He's been a very, very supportive boyfriend who has been tolerating all of my fits of sadness and rage through the last week or so, and he's impressive.
Wait, so by the time this episode goes out,
I might have a house, yeah.
Tune in next month.
Elisabelle. What's a Nat lament?
The first thing that came to mind, which is what I'm going to say, is she has a bunch of teapots and teacups.
I have two.
Really? You only have two?
I really thought you had more than two.
I have two teapots. Okay,
if she had more, is that a compliment?
I think she said that. I'll correct then. I'll do a better one.
I think she sends us teapot she likes.
Maybe that's why.
That doesn't buy them.
Head, it means that you have one. I know Isabelle has a bunch.
Yeah, but this is not mine. This people keep leaving teapots at my house.
Okay, I'll say this. You're very coordinated in your kitchenware.
Oh, yeah, I hate an uncoordinated
kitchen.
Yes,
and there you go. That's a compliment.
It is. Congrats.
Only took three tries.
If someone needs a kitchen tool, I most likely have it.
Yes, so there you go. Good job, me.
Not good job, me. Good job, Matt.
I think Natalie just has the ability to compliment herself.
Absolutely.
That I've heard. Gene Hendricks.
I think he's probably very respectful when he's playing cards. He's not a sore loser. He's a good gentleman. Respectful. I would pick Gene Hendricks as my card partner any day.
Interesting. Mike Dinas from British Columbia.
Well, can I pick him on Beyond My Card Day?
Why would you?
Because I think he would be very respectful. No, because I think he would be ruthless and we'd win.
There you go. And a new on our list, and she wants a necklement.
Oh, no.
Specifically this first time out, is Chloe Armani.
Oh, yeah. I have something.
Is it a necklement?
I mean, I suppose.
It has to be. That's what she wants.
Well, tell me if it's not. I'm very impressed by her ability to change her hair that often.
No, that's a compliment.
That's a compliment.
But I don't mean in the sense of, like, I just mean she changes her hair so much. Like, that is impressive to me.
Which is still a compliment.
Okay, fine.
So when we ask you to do a necklement, a compliment comes out.
Pressure. Okay, I'll think of a fact.
Okay, how about she has wigs?
Does have wigs.
That is
part of the thing.
Well, no, that would have been the necklement version.
Okay, I feel like every time I see her hair is completely different. There you go. That's a necklement.
Yeah, that's the necklement.
Her hair is consistently different almost every time I see her. I'm never sure what her hair is going to be like. She literally had a wig today. It's always a mystery.
I know. We saw her twice and she had two different hairstyles.
I saw her twice today, twice, two different hair styles completely. So congrats on many hairs.
I'm scared to bleach my hair. She bleaches, cuts it, shaves it, and dyes it. I'm like, oh, I'll trim my bangs and like put some bang in, and I'm like, oh, why?
I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to interrupt you. Kid downstairs started screaming, so it's time to say goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
We love you.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
It's other comedy, okay?
Other forms of humor exist. Yes. Not a sponsor.
Just elsewhere.
Puns sponsoring us.
Today's sponsor, Puns About Cars.
Crap.